Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni and today we'll talk about the ongoing tax saving season. So if you've chosen the old with exemptions tax regime and have not made your tax saver investments yet, you have very little time on hand, only until March 31st to complete the exercise. Now, if you are a salaried employee and have missed the deadline for filing investment declaration set by your employer, you can still make these investments, but there'll be a price to pay. In such cases, assuming of course that you had chosen the old tax regime while submitting your proposed investment declarations in April last year, your employer would have deducted excess tax while computing your taxable income for the current financial year, that is 23-24. While you can always claim tax refund on this excess tax when you file your returns in July, it is a hassle best avoided. In fact, all taxpayers would be better off commencing their tax saving exercise well in advance, preferably in April, right at the beginning of the financial year. An early start can help you avoid last minute glitches and hurried investment decisions. It will also ensure that your tax planning is not an isolated activity but is integrated into the larger financial planning strategy and thus can play a role in taking you closer to your goals. To understand the do's and don'ts of tax planning, particularly at the last minute, we have with us today Nisreen Mamaji, founder of MoneyWorks Financial Services. Welcome to the show, Nisreen. It's great to have you on Simply Save for the first time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So, it is the tax saving season and although people have an entire year to plan their tax saving strategy, many actually end up starting now. So, which is, we have just about 1.5 months to go, but still people will start, a lot of people will start now. So, for such people who are filing, who are planning their taxes at the last minute, what would be your advice?
So basically, you know, a lot of people might have missed out on some of the deductions which are available to them, which is under 80C or 80D. So first you need to find out, you know, what is your taxable income, whether you need to pay any tax or not. Secondly, can you take advantage of 80C, which is the limit of about 150,000 rupees, and 80D, which is 25,000 rupees for you. So first check on your eligibility, whether you need to pay tax. And secondly, check on the avenues that you can take right now because it's a little late in the day to start your tax planning. It's always better to start in April of that year in order to make the most of your tax saving benefits and also not to burden your cash flow. Because now if you're doing it, you know, you may not even have the cash flow required to start making your planning your tax saving instruments. So I always advise people to start in April onwards. But if you haven't, don't lose hope. Just check your eligibility, whether you need to do this at all, or whether your EPF, has already, because, you know, most of the salaries people will be on, will be having a deduction on employee provident fund. You might be having some policies. So if you are, if you're already taken care of for about 150,000 rupees with these two instruments and perhaps tuition fees of your children, then you don't need to panic. But if you have some eligibility left, then, you know, immediately figure out what you need to do and take that step right now in February and don't wait till the end of March because a lot of people do this on 31st March and then, you know, we and you're doing it online. So you're doing an online purchase of ELSS. For some reason, there's a technical glitch and you haven't been able to do it. And I'm saying this from experience because it's happened to so many people that, you know, you don't have internet, you can't accept links, you don't, you know, you're not able to get your banking system in order at the last minute. So please, it's very important to do this in advance.
So you, in fact, touched upon it. Ideally, it should be at the beginning of the financial year. So can you explain why exactly is it important to start in April itself? Is it easier then to start SIPs into ELSS or make systematic investments into PPF, for example?
Absolutely. So when you're beginning at the start of the financial year, you basically you're taking a very proactive approach. You're taking an informed decision. You have enough time to make, comparisons between the various instruments to tally what you already have, what is the balance that you need. And therefore, you can, potentially maximize your savings. And as you rightly said, if you enroll for an SIP in an ELSS fund, then obviously you get a benefit of all the market corrections during the year. So So in a particular month, if there has been a downward correction and your SIP is around that time, then you will obviously be able to purchase more units for the same amount. So you will be a sale buyer, and you know, obviously at the end of the year, you will have more units. So SIP is always the best way to go about it. And you must enroll in an ELSS fund, because between all the ATC, you know, benefit instruments, ELSS will have the shortest term. Like, you know, you're only invested for 3 years. Yeah. And sometimes people kind of roll that money in. But typically, you should just stay invested into an ELSS fund and just plan for your retirement with that. Like you do your EPF, you know, and your PPF, just think of it as long-term, even though it has the flexibility of giving you withdrawals after 3 years of a minimum lock-in period.
Right, right. And specifically in case of salaried individuals, what is the drawback of making tax-saver investments post-filing investment declaration? For a lot of employees now, the deadline for filing investment declaration, which their employer said, is already over, right? Or will be over, let's say, in the next 10 days or so. So, for such individuals, can you explain why they should not wait until March?
So, you know, then what happens if you haven't declared all your tax saving instruments, then you won't get the benefit of that. So you have done all the hard work, you've taken the plan, you've invested, you've locked in your money, but you haven't got the benefit. Plus, you will then have to then file for the refund. Right. So, you know, you've just locked in your money for no rhyme or reason. So all that you have to do is fill up the declaration, because you've already done the hard work. You know, you've done the investment. So all that you have to do is file in the declaration and get the tax benefit for that financial year. And otherwise, your employer will not be aware, right, that you have taken this investment particularly while calculating the TDS and reducing your taxable income. So therefore, making an investment later could be lead to delay in availing these tax benefits until the subsequent financial year. So, you know, it's very important to not only to do the investment, but also to declare it to your employer so that you get the benefit of the TDS in that financial year, and you don't have to apply for TDS refund the following year.
Right, right, right. So you did touch upon this, Nasreen, but how can taxpayers maximize ATC deductions without actually making any fresh investments?
Okay, so you know, there are lots of hidden benefits under ATC which we are not aware of. For example, EPF, Employee Provident Fund, also is one of the ATC you know, requirements that you might be already doing, and you might not have noticed this on your salary slip. Then you're paying your children's tuition fees. So on the tuition, you know, on the slip that you get from your school every year, the invoice, there will be various components. One of them is tuition fees. The second could be books. The third could be library fees. And there are term fees, lunch fees, etc., etc. So the component which comes under tuition fees specifically is also eligible for ATC benefits. So not the entire amount, because sometimes, you know, we just see that and we pay it and we just kind of throw away that slip, and we don't really know that there is a breakup for the every 6 months or 3 months that you're paying your child's fee, or even annual, there is a breakup which the school gives you. The tuition fee is very much eligible for the ATC benefit. Then you could be repaying your home loan, right?
Right.
Principal amount of that, the principal. So there on your amortization chart, again, the loan issuer will give you a chart every year wherein they mention the principal amount and the interest amount. So the principal amount is also eligible for an ATC benefit. Then we have the equity-linked savings schemes, which are eligible for this benefit. We have public provident fund contributions and payment of life insurance premiums. Again, in the life insurance premium, you know, the GST component is not eligible. So just the base, which is mentioned as the ATC benefit, will be your LIC premium or like any life insurance company, whether it is LIC or ICICI or HDFC, Kotak, any company which is issuing you a policy, you will get an ATC certificate. And you can, you know, claim that under the ATC benefits, because this would not include the GST component. Also, if you're taking a pension plan, then you have to make sure that you have, you know, met certain conditions of the pension plan for these benefits. Okay. And all these things, components, all of these combined should not exceed 150,000. Even if it does, it's fine. Especially an equity linked savings scheme can give you benefits, you know, of a regular mutual fund, and most of the returns of the top five ELSS funds are anyway, you know, really superb. So you should just continue those investments and think of it as a long-term planning for your retirement. So these are some of the, you know, schemes that can meet your ATC benefit.
Right, right. So you, in fact, already touched upon ELSS schemes. So apart from ELSS schemes, at the last moment, if I want to exhaust my ATC limit, and of course, I'll take into account my EPF contribution and tuition fee and so on. But if I still have to make fresh investments around this time at the last minute, when I don't have time to do my research, ELSS apart, what are the instruments that I can look at investing in?
So you have, you know, tax-saving FDs offered by banks, which have a minimum of a five-year period. Then you have the National Savings Certificate, the NSC. You have Senior Citizen Savings Schemes, SCSS. So these instruments typically have a lock-in period and they provide tax benefit up to the specified limit under Section 80C, you know, above and beyond the ELSS schemes, which we've already discussed. So any of this, as per your risk appetite, also the tenure that you're planning to invest, because a lot of these schemes have different tenure periods. NSC will be 5 years, employee PPF will be 15 years. So you have to look at the lock-in periods also. And, you know, most of these have assured returns. ELSS will be market linked, so you know your risk tolerance will be slightly higher on that compared to the fixed return schemes. So keeping in mind these options, you should make an informed decision and take the plan that is best for you. ELSS will be very simple; it's completely online, and you know it's just a touch of a button. But as I mentioned earlier, make sure you don't wait till the last 5 minutes because you don't want any technical glitch.
Again, this is something that you have broadly touched upon, but typically what are the mistakes that people tend to make at the last minute? And also, at this, one mistake is of course that they end up buying or investing in the wrong instrument. So which are the instruments that ATC instruments that they should definitely avoid?
Typically, you know, what happens is if you decide last minute, then you haven't done your proper research and you haven't actually matched your own financial goals to the instrument. It becomes like a transaction that you're doing just for saving tax. So that can be avoided because all these instruments can actually be matched to your own financial goals, right? They're not something that you take independently of your other investment criteria. So you should match this, you should match the time zones, the lock-in periods associated with certain investments leading to, you know, liquidity issues. Because if you have a long-term plan where you don't get liquidity, like NSC, etc., then suppose you have an issue and you want to cash in earlier. Because some of these instruments are so long, most of the life insurance policies will be very long-term, at least 10 years upwards. Then even your PPF are 15 years lock-in. So what happens is that during the time period, you might have a, you know, extreme emergency situation where you might want to cash in some part of it. So you should also select an instrument which will give you the flexibility of cashing in. And at the same time, you have to have the financial, you know, determination to put in that money back. So for example, if you withdrawn from your ELSS after a lock-in period of 3 years, then you should be able to also put that money back when your financial situation improves so that your long-term goals are met. You can also diversify, you know, so you don't have to put all your eggs in one basket. You can have some amount of ELSS, some amount of ETF and PPF, some amount of course, your EMI towards your principal amount towards your home loan. And tuition fees, so if you have a four or five of these instruments, you've kind of diversified also your risk appetite and your tenures. And most times, you know, we need all these instruments in our kitty, right? Because you will be paying some amount of school fees, you might have a loan. So all these things you're automatically doing in any case. So your diversification will be taken care of by, you know, your usual life goals also.
All right. So make tax planning a part of your financial planning strategy rather than treating it as an independent activity is what you say. Thanks a lot, Nisreen. Thanks a lot for joining us today. It was great to have you on Simply Save. Thank you so much for all
this. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on board.
Thank you.
Good day.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more views, news and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.